Hangman is drinking, Moxley's bleeding, and based on his shirt, MJF is banging. Buckle up, AfterBuzzers, it's gonna be a good one.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the world-famous AfterBuzz TV studios in sunny Los Angeles, California. And have we got a show for you. We've got all of the dust-ups and fisticuffs of the crazy evening of Bash at the Beach. But before we get started, allow me to introduce the amazing panel I get to work with today. To the far, far left of me, he is the law doctor himself, the international super scout, checking out wrestling all over the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Roger Corral.
Thank you. Thank you.
And next to him, she is our indie super scout, checking out all the wrestlers that you don't know you're gonna know in the years to come. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Anissa Barr.
That's me.
That's her.
And of course, hailing from inside the booth, he is the super producer himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Josh Alonso.
Oh, sorry, I'm on Spanish raw mode. It's my bad.
And of course, I am your benevolent host, Fancy Jack Farmer. And we had quite the show tonight. Bash at the Beach is back, and I am all about it. But how did you guys feel?
I felt nostalgic. It felt nice. I want a t-shirt with a Bash at the Beach on it. Like, it looked cool. I want some sand. I want the whole deal. It looked great.
Yeah, this is a good show. I enjoyed it. Maybe I was alive during Bash at the Beach back in the day. But it's good to relive it in 2020.
This is like my 20th Bash at the Beach.
Right, I know. Yeah, Roger, you made a great point. That logo for Bash at the Beach would age very well on a shirt as well. Like, you could wear that, and you could wear it for years to come, and it would just look cool. Pro wrestling tees, get on it. You don't even have to cut me in on the deal. Just send me a shirt. Roger, too. It was his idea, after all.
I'll take one.
This was so much fun. As a huge Bash the Beach fan growing up, again, it was WCW's, called it one of their biggest ones. I thought it was actually their biggest one every year.
Well, this is where the NWO was created.
Yes.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, that was one. That was like the biggest moment in my time.
In your life.
As my life. So, someday I'll be at the pearly gates and I'll be like, well, there was the birth of my child. There was my marriage. But the NWO was really where it all clicked for me.
The third man.
Lots and lots of really cool stuff. We ended the night, though, with a match between Pac and Darby Allin, with I believe the winner was going on to face Moxley for the number one contendership.
Yeah. On a cruise next week.
On a cruise, the Rock and Rager.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I think my invite got lost in the mail.
Think all our invites got lost in the mail.
Jericho, don't sweat it. Next year, make sure I'll get. Yeah, I think you have my old address. This was such a cool match. They always say styles make matches, and these two have great chemistry together. I thought. How did you guys feel about this one?
Yeah, we were just talking about this. Darby has great legs, by the way. Like, we were just talking about this.
Oh, yeah, we were.
I'm not sure if that's where the conversation was supposed to go.
We were talking about his ring gear.
My notes said, talk about his legs.
But I thought this was a great opportunity for Darby Allin to, again, showcase that he's the main eventer. I know he hasn't pulled out many wins in these big matches, but he's shown that he could keep up. And this was another great example. Like, the crowd was really into it the whole time.
The crowd was insane today. They were into everything.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Miami.
Until the Nightmare Collective showed up.
That's a tease. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But Anissa, how do you feel about this match? You know, Pac is someone I really, really enjoy, as well as Darby Allin. Darby, I'm guessing, matches your style a little bit more, but how did you feel about these two going at it?
I thought this was a good match. I mean, it's not something we get to see Darby wrestle, obviously, Pac. So for me, I thought this was a good match between them. I did hope that Darby Allin would have won this match, but I feel Darby Allin at this moment is not ready for the AEW title. I feel AEW needs a title, like another
we need a mid-card title,
like a mid-card title, and I feel that that would be good for Darby Allin if they had a mid-card title.
You're right.
It does feel like they need something for a lot of these guys who are there, but there's just not room in the main event yet.
Yeah, I personally feel Darby Allin needs a title, and so he could have something else to hold instead of his skateboard.
Darby Allin, this is one of those times when it happens rarely in wrestling, but this is one of those times where I felt, even though he didn't win, he still looked strong after this match.
And that's hard to do. No. That's hard to do. I mean, one of the big complaints in wrestling, like, amongst fans, is whenever someone starts losing a lot. I mean, we had that discussion with Kenny Omega, you know, all of last year. I feel like that when someone starts losing, it's hard to keep momentum. And you're right. He's a perfect example of someone that losses don't matter. Yeah. They don't matter with him.
Do you think it's because he shows so much heart in all of his matches? Like, he takes a beating. He got that power bomb onto the steel steps.
He was a champ for taking that power. Someone said he was a champ for taking that power bomb somewhere in here, and I don't know who said it. But I agree. Like, that, he takes some big bumps. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Hardy, actually. I feel like it's someone. Jeff Hardy was a perfect example of someone that everyone rooted for, regardless of wins or losses.
Yeah.
And he kind of has the same frame, the same type of style as well. So, I don't know. He reminds me of him.
I think, and a lot like Jeff Hardy flirted with the main event for a long time before he got there. And when he finally got there, he really got a big groundswell of support after that. And people really loved it, and they really appreciated it. I think when Darby's time comes, and it's coming, he's a star, he will get there. When it comes, people are going to love it.
I agree.
I think it's going to be a huge moment for them.
I think that moment will come for him. Maybe on a boat next week.
Maybe. Now, of course, Pac won. Oh, I really want to just, I like shouting out interesting moves. I loved, I don't know if you'd call it like a Texas cloverleaf pin or something that Darby did.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or a sharpshooter pin, or I don't know how you would call that, but he did the figure four leg pin.
I want it to work. Like, I wanted to actually result in a three count one day. It felt like he was about to do a submission, but then the ref started counting, and I was like, oh, this is different.
That was really cool. I would love to see him do that as a finisher. Oh, the coffin drop is so cool, though.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I don't want to get rid of the coffin drop.
But. He has a similar move where he throws himself kind of like a Tope Suicida through the middle rope, and he just throws himself, like, back first.
Right.
That's his thing.
Yeah, so now, next week, Pac is going to go against Moxley for the number one contendership to Jericho's championship. Now, he said Moxley's out. He says Moxley's done. I love this strategy. Pac, you're a smart man. Why have the match when you don't need to have the match? He says he's going after Jericho. How do you guys feel that match is going to play out? It feels like Jericho's obviously been building towards a Moxley match, so it kind of feels like that's the way things are going, but Pac seems pretty unbeatable.
I like the idea of, I mean, you mentioned it last week, there's no simple one-on-one feuds going on in AEW, and I like that, because there's the slight chance that Pac does get involved in the world title scene.
Yeah.
And I like not knowing, you know, it's not so predictable every week, and not only that aspect, but I like the fact that, you know, the storyline has kind of been building between Moxley and Pac. You know, they had the first draw in AEW history, what was it, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago? So they've been building towards this. And again, I think sometimes we forget some of these matches, but they've laid the foundation for all of this, and it's paying off.
Hmm. Yeah. So, Anissa, just how bad is Pac going to beat Moxley next week?
Good luck.
Oh, my God.
You're going to lose.
She's giddy.
You're going to lose.
Are you a Pac fan?
I never really was. I mean, prior to, like, in the indies and stuff, I wasn't, like, the biggest, but I mean, I do like his in-ring work.
Did you follow him in the indies a lot?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Just a little bit.
Because I do know that when you follow someone from the ground floor, you're definitely connected a little bit more. There's definitely that love for them a bit more.
Mm-hmm. I do think he's more of a boy type of wrestler, if that makes sense. Like, I don't see him...
A boy.
Okay,
I get what you mean, but it's just a funny way to explain it.
It's hard to explain because I don't think little kids are dying to see Pac. I don't think women are dying to see Pac. I think he's a very fanboy type of wrestler.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but that's a feeling I get.
He's a very smooth wrestler. Everything he does looks very crisp and clean. It's very well done and very well executed.
And I think it's because of the British style that's who he is.
British people.
You know.
Yeah. Josh in the booth, do you think Pat can do more pull-ups or more push-ups?
I don't know. I need to do whatever he's doing. I need to do whatever. I just want to be like that all around. But yeah.
Pack is stacked.
He's stacked. Pack, he's definitely stacked pack. Let's just
stack pack.
New t-shirt.
You know, I tried doing a pull-up a few weeks ago, and I couldn't. So mad props, Pack.
Same.
Yeah. Pull-ups are overrated.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Who needs them? What have they ever done for me? So of course, as I mentioned, Pac had said that Moxley's not going to be able to make it because he was injured, and that injury occurred earlier in the night after a match that Moxley had with Sammy Guevara. Now, I thought this match, before we get into the after shenanigans, the match I thought was really good. And Anissa, you and I were chatting. Obviously, I know you're a Moxley fan, so you're always going to sway a little Mox.
Yes.
Sammy Guevara has grown as a performer, has he not?
Yeah, and I was mentioning it to you before. This is totally Chris Jericho with what Sammy's doing. You know, seeing from Sammy a little bit in the indies and then now doing AEW, I feel as he's evolved very well, and being under Chris Jericho's wing really evolved and elevated him to the next level as being a heel. Mm-hmm. What I do really like about Sammy is that he can take any flips or, you know, move, and he can make it like it was the worst thing in the world for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when Mox did that little move and he pretty much flipped him over and it looked like he landed on his head. Sammy Guevara is really good at selling.
Yes, which as in his role is important because that's the part we like about him is when he's getting beaten up. Roger, how do you feel about young Sammy Guevara?
He's grown so much on me. Like, he's a must-watch name now. And I enjoy him thoroughly. Like, I was in awe kind of seeing his demeanor. I feel like he's what Jericho wanted to be in WCW.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think this is all Jericho. I think Jericho has such an eye for talent. And anywhere he goes, I think he tries to put people over. And I think he's done a phenomenal job with Sammy.
Yeah, he's, as we've said before on the show, everyone who seems to interact with Jericho comes out looking better.
Yeah, I need to get in touch with Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho. Again, the ticket got lost in the mail. No sweat. Next time, I'll be there.
And I want to add to this with Sammy. I think that he shouldn't be a face.
Ever.
Because he's so good at being a heel, especially with his generation of the vlogging, of, you know, all the social media stuff. He's so good at it. I don't think I can't see him as a baby face.
It makes you hate him.
Like, yeah, he's great. He's terrible. He's great. I've become a huge Sammy Guevara fan, and I didn't think I would, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But I think what he does is great. Anissa, I always want to make sure I give you at least a little bit of time to talk about Moxley. One thing I want to add, though, is that I loved the Goldberg-esque Moxley chants before he came out. That was pretty cool.
You heard that, John?
Yeah, so because Goldberg's your other favorite wrestler, right?
No.
Again, we have a lot of discussions behind the scenes
I could know. I don't even need to ask. I know Goldberg's not here. But how did you think he came across it? How did you feel about his performance today, Moxley?
I thought it was really, really good. It's where we get to see John Russell, someone like Sammy. We mentioned while we were watching the way Sammy hit him on the edge of the ring, landed him, and it looked really bad. And we discussed it, like, do you think is that a shoot? Like, is John going to go back and, like, give him a shoot? Not, but I, but we both agree, like, yeah. John's probably not that type of dude. But I do believe that John is very, how do I say this, pretty much evolving into what he's not really used to when it comes to these types of wrestlers, different styles. Mm-hmm. He's wrestling guys that do lucha styles, you know, British strong style, Japanese strong style. He's not, I've never really seen him wrestle in those type of styles, but for me, I'm really enjoying what he's doing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's grown a lot too, I think, just because he's been working in different places. Yeah. And yeah, I agree. You're starting to see him do a lot more cool stuff. He's really coming along as a bit of the an X factor for AEW. And I wanted to add real quick, every company has those guys that have been going at it throughout the whole run of the company. And someday I think we're going to look back and say Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin are the yeah. two that have always been feuding and hate each other. They haven't really feuded yet, but I think that because of their age and their talent level, those guys yeah. are going to be the two that are constantly going at it. Real quick, because we've been on this topic for a little bit long, but I do want to touch on Jericho and the Inner Circle beating up Moxley. I love that Jericho took off a little spike and stabbed him.
I always get queasy with that because, you know, it gets a little too real.
Yeah. I loved it.
There was that part like, oh, he got him in the eye.
He got him in the eye, man. I keep going back to Jeff Hardy, but he had a match with Randy Orton several yeah. months ago where they did the ear thing.
Yeah.
That was a couple of years ago.
Oh, was it? Oh, well.
Feels like a year.
The years are going by.
Time flies. Yeah.
But stuff like that makes me queasy because I feel like, you know, one wrong move and Moxie suddenly doesn't have an eye.
Speaking of not having an eye, we do not have a pair of eyes that belongs to Jessica O'Connor, who usually lets everyone know where to find us. So instead, this time, the person who's going to go ahead and tell you all about that is going to be
me,
Josh Alonso in the booth.
Oh.
No, you can do it. You can do it, Anissa. I don't know. I was just picking it.
Josh, you want to do it?
Nope. No.
Well, thank you guys for watching us here on YouTube at AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports, as well as listening to us on iTunes. Give us that 5 stars because this is a 5-star show. So is AEW because, hello, they're going through 2023 for TNT. Sorry, wrong company. But what I'm going to say is please, thank you so much for subscribing us. Thank you, everyone in the chat. Dylan, Brent, External Shockwave, Eric,
Dang MQ,
and Joseph Bozov. And I'm sure we have many more in the chat. But
Super Friday.
Keep going. Keep chatting with us.
Super Friday.
Thank
us
you so much.
Chat.
Oh, we got a $5 super chat.
Yeah,
let's
Super Friday. AEW, whatever happened to predictability, the milkman, the paperboy, the evening TV, he just got bullhoused.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, we are the ESPN of TV Talk.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, thank you guys all for being in there, and I also want to take a moment real quick to shout out the NXT crew who was on right before us. They let me get to join their show for a little bit. It was an absolutely fun time. If you watch NXT, you definitely need to check them out, and if you don't watch NXT, do yourself a favor. Watch the after show and see if it sounds like a show you want to follow. It's very easy. It's at AfterBuzz TV. I'm going to be there. You should be there, too. That said, we're going to go to what we call topic two, and that is the opening match. And this
External
was...
External Shockwave said Jack jumped ship.
Just I am the Rick Rude of AfterBuzz TV.
Making history.
Making history.
Jack betrayed us. Oh, man, the comments are starting to come in.
Well, maybe I just talked about how great we are. You have to go check out the show.
Wait,
find
don't
out.
Bag on Jack. We know you guys go to the NXT chat too. Come on.
Oh my god, this is awkward.
So, speaking of opening matches, Proud and Powerful, the Young Bucks, the Best Friends, and Hangman and Omega. This was set. Was the Mac Militant. The best part. Come in to get it on. I do this song for karaoke all the time, by the way. this This was such an exciting match. This was so much fun. It was a great way to kick off the show. Roger, walk me through it.
One of my favorite tag team matches in recent memory. Like, nonstop goodness. I like that the Elite were working with each other. I liked all the moonsaults. I can't even keep up. It was a long match, too. It was like a 20-minute match. And I like the results. I like Kenny Omega and Hangman really needed this win. Because, again, I feel like that's been a complaint amongst fans of both wrestlers and the company.
Yeah.
And everyone came out looking like $1 million. It was phenomenal.
I absolutely 100% agree. Anissa, did you have anything to take away from this?
Yeah, Orange Cassidy.
Oh, my God. That guy is so over.
I have a question for you that a few buddies posed to me. Could Orange Cassidy be in the main event?
Yes.
Yeah, he can.
You think could he be a world champion?
Oh yeah.
Without breaking his character, without changing who he is.
Yeah, because I've seen Orange Cassidy do what he do, but when do what he does in the ring as his character. But when you give him the orange juice, he's the same guy, but he's pumped up a little bit more with that pulp.
Do you ever think that someone were trying to sabotage Orange Cassidy? They might not give him orange juice, but instead give him, like, cranberry juice or apple juice or any type.
I don't think that works on
him. No,
it.
No.
That's
a good, good maybe future storyline.
A good future storyline.
Unless he was, like, vitamin C Cassidy. The man's all about oranges.
Vitamin C. That's the trick all along. It's just the vitamin C. He can take a vitamin, and it does everything it's supposed to do. But the crowd was in love with Hangman Page, by the way. When Hangman, like, the Hangman chants were crazy. The match was on fire the whole time. I am loving this weird dynamic of, like, Hangman almost not caring because he's, like, he's drinking. He cares, but he's, like, he's, like, loose about it. You know, I like a sloppy Page. I think it's good.
I feel like there's pain behind the eyes, though. I feel like it sounds like he's relaxed and he's just having a few drinks. But if you're drinking on the job, something's going on. And I think we should investigate further. His friends should investigate further.
Yeah, I mean, I see what your point on the way he's handling it. Because, like, you know, we've seen people drink on the job in pro wrestling. And they take it to a different way. But I'm still curious to know what type of storyline are they telling to us about Hangman Page. Are they going to an alcoholic storyline or a depression storyline? Because it seems to me that it just doesn't really do good with him having a drink. It makes it seem so sad, especially what happened backstage with SCU. It's just so...
I think there's pain, guys.
I think that's the story. I think he's slowly going to become the... We've all been out. We've had the friend that drank too much. And then you're, like, kind of on the hook for all their ridiculousness.
But what I'm saying...
And that's what... At least that's what my friends tell me.
All right, we're going to party with Jeff. But what I'm saying is, what are they trying to tell their audience? I'm trying to look at it two different ways as someone who's never seen this before with my family and kids or whatever. I'm interested in wrestling. What are they trying to tell us as a family about this wrestler drinking? And then as a wrestling fan, I kind of understand it because I've seen this before.
I think there's a difference. I fully agree. I feel like when Stone Cold came out and would have a drink, it was fun. Right. I didn't see pain in his eyes. I feel like
he was having a good old time.
There's no pain. When Hangman drinks, he never smiles. He has it during... It feels like he's doing it to cope with a lack of friendship that he's having with the Elite.
Right, and I think that's what's going to drive them apart. And I'm all for it because I think... Those two are so exciting. I am absolutely... I'm buying all the merchandise on Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And I am so excited for that match. I'm even more excited now that they had that little run-in backstage because I think Hangman is going to do some things that are not friendly. Mm. And it's going to make put Kenny Omega in a weird spot.
Yeah.
And it's going to start to build some conflict there. I'm hoping, or maybe they'll do something surprising and different, and I'm going to be more excited about it. But I absolutely am really into that. Like, I'm very much into seeing what they do next.
It's funny. A part of me doesn't want to see them fight amongst each other. I feel like I have such a bond with the Elite group that made this company happen for me that I don't want anything bad to happen.
But I feel like that's, we're going to eventually see that.
I know.
But that, isn't that great storytelling, that you're emotionally involved in what's happening? It's like when the Avengers were started breaking up during Civil War. Spoiler alert.
That was all Bucky's fault, by the way.
That was... Don't you dare besmirch Bucky.
I've never seen any Avengers movie, so whatever.
It's all Bucky.
Civil War Bucky was cool, then he went downhill. Lots of fun stuff there. But moving on, we do have to touch on the women's tag team match.
Come in to get it on.
Do we, Jack?
If you're watching at home or listening at home, please do me a favor and say "come in and get it on along with me" during that drop. it'd be fun if we all sang along. It'd be a good moment. There were some moments to this that got a little tweet worthy, but overall, I like to pull from the positives here. I thought Mel looked massive and came off as a legit threat in the women's division.
Yeah.
I really liked how Brandy only tagged in when the getting was good, and then when that wasn't the case, she tried to run away. And
she's like that bratty kid, like in elementary school, that would like beat you up and then run away and tell the teacher that you beat her up.
Yeah,
was that just me? I don't know.
She's great. I think she's amazing. I know she gets, I know there's mixed feelings about this whole Nightmare Collective thing. Where do you guys fall in the Nightmare Collective? How do you guys feel about it?
I'm enjoying it. I hope this is Brandy's all idea when it comes to the women's division, and her, like, I'm hoping her and other women are producing these matches and producing these segments with the women, because it's something that I feel that we all kind of need to see. Obviously, Brandy is doing amazing. I really like the way she ties it, because we don't really get to see Brandy wrestle. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare. So her doing that, I feel, makes her team look a little more stronger.
Do you think – I know it's been said in our chat very often. If you're not a part of the live chat, if you have the opportunity, definitely check us out on YouTube as we're live.
There's a lot of comments of come in and get it on in the chat, by the way.
Oh, thank you, guys. Yeah. I appreciate that. I know there's always comments about Brandy eventually wanting to be the women's champion herself. Do you think she's going to make a play for the title herself, or do you think she's going to maintain more of a kind of in the back managerial role or cowardly tag team partner?
I don't know, man.
I think it's a little too soon, but I think along the lines, if they played the storyline correctly, I think Brandy's going to end up being the women's champion eventually and have, everyone do the dirty work for her.
I love those kind of heels. Those are great.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Pope Tay TV said, we don't need to see this at all. Cut it out.
Oh. So, yeah. Strong.
That person came in strong.
That's how you feel.
Like, get me out of here.
That just startled me. I think it's great. I think they have done a really good job of building the women's division. I think there's definitely still work to do, but I think they're doing a great job, especially for anyone who checked out AEW Dark this week. Nyla Rose and Shayna had a match that was pretty good, and they kept the fight going into the backstage. And so I think they're starting to get a lot more things going with the women's division. I do feel like it was kind of starting from a dead stop a little bit. Like I think they had some plans and then decided to move in a different direction. So it's pivoting, but I think it's pivoting in the right way.
I think there's a fear of where it could go. So Dang MQ is saying, I think the fear is that Brandy will Stephanie McMahon this and credit herself for everything in the women's division.
So I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. The way I look at it is, as long as I'm entertained, I don't care who takes credit for it. I'll take credit for it if you want me to. I'm just saying. I'm happy to take credit for good things. But if it's as long as I'm entertained, I don't care if Stephanie's... I don't know.
No, you're right. I think as long as you're entertained, that's what's important. The problem is, are we entertained?
So far, at the very least, I will say this. At the very least, when these kind of segments come on, I am interested to see how it plays out. Oh. It's definitely not a boring like, okay, this is going to be a thing. Like, I do go, oh, okay, Mel's wrestling. This is interesting. Oh, okay, Brandy's wrestling. That's interesting. You know, Hikaru Shida's wrestling. Statlander. Like, I am actually interested in it. You're not a Hikaru Shida fan?
No, Statler.
Oh, I'm telling you, this division is really controversial because I feel like there's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be discussing this for a while. And like you said, I mean, we're interested in the fact that we're even discussing this. I think that's good.
Yeah. I see big things for the women's division. I think it's going to be amazing. And I like where it's going.
Yeah.
Speaking of liking where things are going, we had a 3-man tag team match playa.
A lot of tag teams.
Say it with me, guys. Coming to get it on. I can feel you guys joining in with me. Butcher and Blade and MJF versus QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes, and DDP.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
Oh.
I like the Butcher and the Blade. I'm just going to say it. I like the weird thing the Butcher was doing marching around the ring before it started.
Oh, I like that. It reminded me of my wrestling day. So I wrestled in high school, and that was the workout that you would do.
Yeah.
It just brought me back to that. It looked intimidating.
Yeah. I thought, ugh. Anissa, this question's for you. I asked Jessica the same question last week. I know DDP was before your time as a wrestling fan. How do you feel seeing him now? Do you feel like, oh, this is a cool throwback, it's nice to see him in the ring, or is it like, who is this dude, and why is he taking up my wrestling time?
I was alive when DDP was around.
Right. Didn't you start watching wrestling in 2016 or something?
1997. Or 95, one of those.
So, but how do you feel seeing DDP? Do you like seeing DDP?
Yeah, I mean, you know, DDP gives us a little more my generation, but obviously a 30-plus generations throwback, because we don't really get to see people from the 90s come back and do their thing. And mm-hmm. he can still go, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just wondering how long is this storyline with him and MJF are going to go?
I think he is such a perfect veteran to have involved, especially with someone like MJF. Because, mm-hmm. again, I see a lot of, just like I see a little bit of Jericho and Sammy Guevara, I see parts of DDP in some of these wrestlers as well.
Yeah.
We said it before, he was the original People's Champion, and his trajectory mm-hmm. in WCW was like, it was very similar to like what we're seeing with a lot of wrestlers nowadays. Like, they build up slowly through crowd reaction, and one day, you know, the Darby Allins and all the other wrestlers, they will be our DDPs.
Yeah.
DDP was my dad's favorite wrestler. fun fact. He just doesn't watch wrestling. That's why I say he was.
He's a Randy Orton fan now.
he likes that finisher. So I thought it was fun to see. I thought it was a great MJF, I thought, was amazing in this match in the way he worked with DDP. Fun little name drop. I was watching in this in the back with one Kevin Undergaro. You may have heard of him. His name is on every show we do. And it was fun watching. He was a DDP fan as well. So it was fun getting to check in and watch that. And you know what? You know what? I don't know if I should say this. I might get in trouble. I don't know if I should, but I'm gonna say it. I want Kevin Undergaro on our show.
Oh.
I want him to, he's a wrestling fan. I want him to join the couch. Kevin. Kevin Undergaro. I'm calling you out. I want you on the couch. I want you to join the show for an episode. I want you to be on the AEW Dynamite AfterBuzz show. Kevin Undergaro. this is the last time you'll see me.
We don't have a host next week.
We never saw Jack afterwards.
I loved it, and you know, I think now's a good time to just roll into Elite of the Week. What do you guys think?
I think it's a great time.
Let's
Elite
do it.
Of the Week.
Starting at number 5, he's at home on the charts. He's Jon Moxley. He had a big, big win against Sammy Guevara. He took a little shot to the eye afterwards, but you can't stop the Mox that easy. He's coming back and ready for more. Next up, it is the AEW Heavyweight Champion of the World, world, Chris Jericho didn't have a match, but he showed Moxley what happens when you cross the inner circle. You get a jacket to the eye. You get a coat in your face. After that, we have at number three, Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega. This tag team is just fun. I love to see where it's going. Every time they're out there, I think something's going to happen that's going to make the team dissolve. But no, they keep winning, and I'm loving where they're going. I'm really excited to see how this pans out. Number two, it's the Bastard Pack. I get to say it when I talk about him. He is just on a roll. He's going into a number one contenders match. He's beating everyone up. The guy has lats like he can do 1,000 pull-ups, and he has pecs like he can do 1,000 push-ups. He is just... He's on fire. And number one is me. Oh. It's me. It's DDP. Did he win? No. But I like him. It's my list. I'm putting him number one, and there's nothing you can do about it. Bang.
What is that? All right. Elite
of the week. It's Arn Anderson, your honorable mention. Like, what are we doing?
How many times in my life at this point am I ever going to get to put DDP on the list again? I have to take... The guy is 63 years old, and he's still out there. I thought he looked great. He earned a number one spot.
He did. It might be his last number one spot, so enjoy it.
How do you guys feel about that? Dead on, perfect, bullseye?
Hey, it's your list.
That it is, Anissa. That
I
it is.
I made sure to put Moxley in there.
He's so proud of himself.
What Josh is trying to say is it's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. So I wanted to go into a few predictions before we end. We are going into the Rock and Rager. Cody cut a promo looking so cool in his Miami Vice outfit. And he said he accepts MJF's terms. He's going to get whipped. He's going to face Wardlow. And then he's going to go on to Revolution on February 29th to face MJF. Do you guys see this all going smoothly?
I'm always down for a good whipping.
If wrestling's proven anything to me, that this will just go off fine, nothing, no shenanigans will happen. Be very straightforward. Anissa, what do you think's going to happen?
I believe I saw on Instagram that it was going to be a cage match.
Yeah, with Wardlow.
With Wardlow, yeah.
First ever AEW cage match in history.
What kind of cage do you think they're going
to
use?
Oh, that's a great question. Everyone in the chat, what kind of cage do you want it to be? I know they can't use it, but I would love for the blue.
The blue? That's what I'm thinking. Keep it old school.
That's not really a cage, though. That's like...
a pin?
That's like a...
What if they use this style cage that they did in the original Spider-Man? Well, not the original Spider-Man. With Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. With
the Macho Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Bone saw, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bone saw.
Look at these nerds.
So, yeah, let us know in the chats or in the comment what style cage is your favorite and what you would like to see.
Well, the question also, what kind of whip do we want? There's a lot of potential here.
I think you said it was the weight belt.
Oh, it's a weight belt.
Maybe not, though. I don't know. Maybe that was just me putting things together. but yeah, whip. What kind of whip? That would be a funny bit, him like going through like
you have to pick
like his different times.
Or maybe the fans bring the weapons.
The fans provide the whip.
That would not end well. Joey Janela cut a promo. I like his promos. He seems like a fun, interesting. He's definitely different than all the other characters we're seeing. Took a few shots at Penelope Ford, who nutshotted him. He said that last year felt like it was one long nutshot for him, but now
I've been there.
Guys like him are the backbone of AEW, and he's going to face Rey Fénix next week. A lot to unpack there, and we're running out of time. So real quick, Anissa, how are your thoughts on Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian being involved with Joey Janela and them using a little bit of that?
It's getting very personal. The interactions on Twitter,
Are you enjoying it? Do you like the tea getting spilled?
I feel a little bad for Joey Janela.
But will you feel good when you get when he gets his hands on Kip?
Yeah, because never mind.
Yeah,
it's like the Matt Hardy situation.
How do you feel about him calling him Roger? Him calling himself the backbone? Guys like himself, the backbone of AEW. Does he have a point?
No, but if you want to call yourself that, if it makes you feel better, go for it, Joey.
Okay. Phoenix versus Joey, who wins?
I feel that Kip and Penelope is going to interfere.
I agree. I'm going with that.
Perfect. And then last of all was another really cool Dark Order promo with them talking about their recruiting efforts and how they're specifically targeting the elite. Michael Nakazawa was recruit number one, it sounded like, as well as guys like Omega and Cutler. Are we going to see any of these guys actually join?
I feel I have to say this. I feel Matt Hardy is a part of this.
That's yeah, what's going around on the
because if you really interwebs. If you really think about it and know the history of this, this is totally Matt Hardy, TNA gimmick, everything. And if Matt Hardy is the one behind this going after the Young Bucks and the Elite, you have to remember before the Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy went to WrestleMania, did this prize appearance the night before they wrestled the Young Bucks for, I believe, the Ring of Honor title. Right. So as a ladder match. So I think in my opinion, it's all connected. It's Matt Hardy.
And then real quick, Roger, are they going to recruit any elite guys?
No. Nope. Never.
It's never going to work? They're not going to get Nakazawa or Cutler?
Don't do that to me. No.
Okay. cool. Well, that about does it for us. We're out of time. So, Roger, why don't you go ahead and let all of our amazing listeners and viewers know where they can find you online.
You got it. You can find me on Twitter, Roger_Carell.
And you can find me on all social media at AnySpark.
And Josh Alonzo in the booth.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JOAL323.
And make sure to check out Jessica O'Connor online as well. You can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at RealJackFarmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the Raw After Show every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific here on AfterBuzz TV. And huge announcement, we are starting to do a weekly AEW social media skim show where we're going to go ahead and package up all of the AEW social media news for you in a small bite-sized bit. And guess what? I'm going to go record it right after this. It starts this week, folks, so be on the lookout for that. Follow AfterBuzz TV on social media to get all that information. Josh Alonzo is going to be there. You should too. We'll see you there. Until next time, everyone, do your best and be yourself.
Our founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.